Father, bless these words in Jesus' name. It is important for me as a believer to understand what God feels is important. There are certain things that God places a high value on, and there are other things that God does not place as much of a value on. And if a believer is to live in the heart of God, that believer must understand what is valuable to God. And in today's age, this value system of God is frequently misunderstood. We see this in Revelation chapter 3 when it describes the Laodicean church. Well, that is the church of our time. We are living in the Laodicean age, where the church and individuals within the church are not cold. They still love God. They still have a semblance of godliness. They're just not hot. And that really is my attitude toward God and towards the things of God. It will not appear in my outward production. It's not possible for me to gauge that by my outward production. And believers, we sometimes think that my spiritual fervency, if you will, is gauged on how much I'm doing or what I'm doing. Yet man looks at the outward appearance and God looks at the heart. Fervency is in the heart. Being hot on fire for God is in the heart. It is not in the outward appearance. You can have two people doing exactly the same thing, and one of them is on fire for God and one of them is not. This was found with the Ephesians. God said of the Ephesians, "I know thy works. And you hate the Nicolaitans, and I hate the Nicolaitans. And I know that you hate anything that is not godliness. But I have one thing against you, Ephesians." And this was the only church, because of this one thing, that lost its representative status because of the mistake it made. You left your first love. This is why Jude tells us, keep yourself in the love of God. Because me keeping myself in the love of God will give me the understanding of what God says is important, and not just what I can see. Walking 20 miles for one woman was important to God. How many believers would not travel 2 hours to go to church? Why? Because it doesn't have that much value to them, if that was the place where they were called or the place that was available to feed them. In today's age, people hem and haw if they have to drive 30 minutes to go to church, because it's not that valuable to them. People mistreat other people because those people have no value in their eyes. That is when I lack the heart of God. That is when I do not see the value of the soul. If I don't see the value of my own soul, I will not see the value of nourishing it. If I don't see the value of another person's soul, I will not see the value of winning it to Christ. If I do not see the value of a soul that is that of a believer, then I will not see the value of revealing the Spirit and His fruit to that soul. And so I won't do it. And it's not because of what I did per se, it was the heart that was in me that made the difference. In Proverbs 11:30, the Word of God has a very curious statement and juxtaposition. There are two things that Proverbs 11:30 says. It says that the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life. And we can sort of get that. That life would be found in righteousness, except it doesn't say that righteousness is the tree of life. It says what righteousness produces is a tree of life. You see, if it said righteousness is a tree of life, then it would be a works trip. But the fruit of that righteousness, in other words, the righteousness is not something I produce, the righteousness is something I possess. And it is a condition of my heart. When I have God's imputed and imparted righteousness functioning in my heart, then my life takes on a very specific character and flavor. My life starts to reveal the nature and the character of God. You see, when I realize the mercy of God for me, my life takes on a very merciful flavor. When I realize that I really am nothing but a wicked sinner, and that I really am strictly saved by the mercy of God, and when I realize that there really is no good thing in me, then I become very broken. And when I become very broken, the life of God pours out. Did you know it is God's purpose to break you? Why? So that the life of God will pour out. Sometimes God has us in a breaking process and we scream. And we want to get away from it and God won't let us. And we can become very hurt or angry or frustrated. We can even become angry toward God and He still won't let us out. Why? Because it's a process. And in every process there is a goal. And that goal is to reveal the heart of God. The goal is to break me so that He can pour through me. The goal is to break me so that He can fill me. You see, the broken one is the one who can really be filled. That's also the one that He can really use. When I was young, my first year in Bible college, I had been saved 3 years at that point. My first year in Bible college, I had an opportunity to go on a missions trip with our international field director. And this was a well-seasoned, highly experienced man. And I had the opportunity to go spend 2 weeks with him, one-on-one, as he visited several of our churches. And these were churches that were very fruitful, run by pastors who had tremendous fruit in their life, who had a rich portion that they were expressing. For a young guy, that's an incredible opportunity. And the day before we were to go, I developed cellulitis in my face. I looked like the boxer who lost. And the doctor said, "You can't go anywhere." I said, "Well, I'm supposed to go tomorrow to South America." He said, "Well, you can't go. Because this can go either way. This can kind of be taken care of and healed just with antibiotics, or this can turn really bad." And the next morning, my face is twice its normal size. That turned really bad. And God was making an issue of things. And I said to God, "God, why can't I go? This was such a great opportunity. The money's been paid. It's a non-refundable ticket. Why can't I go?" And God says, "I can't use you until I've broken you." You see, God can't use you until He's broken you. Oh, He might be able to use you for a little bit here and a little bit there. Like I can take a scrap of wood that has no real form or shape and has not been worked and use it as a doorstop. I can give it a purpose. Or I can carve it. And I can create a beautiful image in it. And I can have it be a magnificent, perhaps, statue or piece of furniture or tool that can really be used. This is how God is with us. When I have the fruit of righteousness in my life, it will be expressed in the fact that I am broken. And when I am broken, His life pours out. And the second part of Proverbs 11:30 says, "He that wins souls is wise." See, there are two types of people God is highly concerned with. There is the believer, and there is the unbeliever. And God will break the believer and call the believer and work in the believer's life so that He can mold the believer, break him, and let the believer have the immense privilege of having the life of God pour through him. But then it goes somewhere. I have some purposes in my life to be conformed to the image of Christ. Number one purpose, to get to know Him. To edify the body of Christ. To win the lost. To prepare for the Bema Seat. These are my purposes in life. Yet they won't take place without brokenness. See, what is it about the fruit of righteousness and the fruit of wisdom, they're the same fruit. And the fact that I have the fruit of wisdom shows that I understand what God feels is important. I understand that a soul is worth more than all the world. I understand that a soul was why God gave up His Son. I understand that a soul is why the eternal plan was ever written. And so because of brokenness, I respond to God in His initiations, and I live in my purpose. Because of brokenness, people are brought to the Savior. Because of brokenness, the glory of God is manifested on the earth through a believer. Because of brokenness, people can see God. Brokenness is a gift, but it's not a gift of selfishness. Brokenness is a gift, but it's a gift of humility. By the way, humility and the cross in my life are two expressions of the same thing. Because there is a cross in my life, because there is brokenness, I would not dream of being unkind. But even as I say that, I know that it is very tempting for people to think in sentimental terms. But to have God's character of kindness. God's character of kindness is very different than man's character of kindness. God's character of kindness laid down its life and dealt with the Pharisee. God's character of kindness said God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But His character also sends people to hell who have rejected His Son. See, if I have the heart of God, I will understand this. I was talking to a woman, it was a while back, and she said, I'm a good person, and surely if I die, and if there is a God, or when I die, if there is a God, He will see that I have been a good person. She's deceived. And I said to her, and she couldn't quite get her mind around this, I said to her, because she had kids of her own, I said, say that you had one child and you gave that child up. And say that the one that you gave up that child for rejected him. Would you be angry? You see, it is like that. The world rejects the one child, but there is more to it than just that. What's happening in today's church? Today's church rejects the child also, but in a different way. They don't reject the child for salvation. They reject his life. They won't tell people about him. But you know what? God had only one child. And he gave that child up. And now he wants me to tell people about him. Why? Because Christ died. And he wants me to be a soul winner. But he wants more than just that. He wants the fruit of righteousness. Because Christ died. He wants my life to reveal the character of God. And that takes humility. And that takes a cross. Because Christ died. Because my soul is that valuable to God. You see, here's the thing. When I live in a self-occupied, self-oriented, self-consciousness, I'm living apart from the one child that God gave. And it is very equivalent, except in believer terms, to what unbelievers do. An unbeliever says, I don't want Christ, I want my own righteousness. And the believer says, I don't need Christ, I have my own righteousness. You see, do I need Him? Is my soul that valuable to God that He gave Him? Yeah, it is. This is why He breaks me. Because my soul is that valuable to God. This is why He has a plan for my life. This is why He died before the foundation of the world. This is why He calls me by name. This is why He leads me in all truth. Because my soul is that valuable to Him. Live in the fruit of righteousness. Have God's heart flowing through you. Why? Because Christ died. We can't do without it. We think we can because we can keep breathing. But I'll tell you right now, breathing ends a lot sooner if we try to do it without Him. That's a guarantee. See, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life. And the reason is because Christ died to give me that life. And as a believer, I embrace that life. Because my soul is worth more than the whole world. You see, soul winning does two things. Yes, it gives us the opportunities to win the lost. But what does it really do? It wins my soul. The soul winner is the one who has wisdom, is the one whose life is really possessed by God. And it's not because he's a soul winner. It's manifested in the fact that he's a soul winner. The soul winner wins his own soul. Why? Because he's being a vessel. And he's experiencing the fullness of a purpose given by God. This is why he's wise. Because he knows his purpose. Amen.